Exeunt 3. 1. They had escaped, but they weren't safe. Kira checked the ship's records, unable to believe that none of the jellies or the nightmares had overtaken them. One of the jellies had headed after the wallfish a bit over an hour ago, closely followed by the two remaining nightmares. The three ships had been only minutes away from opening fire on the wallfish by the time it transitioned to FTL. In order to leave Bug Hunt as quickly as possible, the wallfish had executed a hot jump, transitioning to FTL without taking the time to properly cool the ship. To do so would have required shutting off the fusion drive for the better part of a day, hardly practical with hostile ships so close behind. Even with the drive extinguished, the heat radiating from it, as well as the thermal energy contained within the rest of the wallfish's hull, would quickly build up to intolerable levels inside the Markov bubble. Heatstroke would become a very real risk, and soon afterward, equipment failure. Kira could already hear the life support fans running harder than normal. It wouldn't be long before the wallfish would have to drop back into normal space. But it almost didn't matter. Whether in subluminal or superluminal space, the ships chasing them were faster than any human-built vessel. They'd escaped, but it still looked like the jellies and the nightmares would catch them. And when they did, Kira had no illusions of what would happen next. She couldn't see how they were going to get out of the situation. Maybe Falcone or Grigorovich had an idea. But for herself, Kira thought the only option would be to fight. And she had no confidence in her ability to protect the crew, much less herself, if more of the Xeno-like nightmares attacked. Her throat tightened, and she forced herself to take a breath, calm herself. The wallfish wasn't taking fire. It wasn't being boarded. Better to save her adrenaline for when that was actually the case. She had just started for the door when the bell-like tone sounded again. So soon? Was something wrong with the wallfish? Out of instinct born of far too many trips on spaceships, she reached for the handhold next to the desk. The stump of her arm swung past the hold, missing it. Fuck! Momentum nearly spun her around, but Kira managed to catch the hold with her left hand and stabilize her position. A faint tingle passed across her skin, as if the electrical charge of the air had increased. She realized they'd just dropped back into normal space. Then a thrust warning rang out, and she felt the wall press against her as the wallfish turned and then began to burn in a new direction.
10 minutes until next jump,
said Grigorovich in his warbling whisper. Kira hurried straight to control. Falcone, Nielsen, and Hawes glanced at her as she entered. The lieutenant was pale and hard-faced. If anything, he looked worse than the previous day. What's going on? Why did we stop? Said Kira.
We're changing course, said Falcone.
Yes, why? We just left the system. He gestured at the ever-present hollow in the center of the room. It showed a map of Bug Hunt.
That's the point. The jellies are jamming the whole area, and we're still inside the jamming. That means no one saw us drop out of FTL, and since the light from the wallfish will take over a day to get back to Bug Hunt.
No one knows we're here, said Kira. Falcone nodded.
For the time being, no. FTL sensors can't pick up sublight objects, so the assholes chasing us aren't going to see us when they fly past. Not unless,
said Nielsen. We're really unlucky and they decide to drop back into normal space to take a look. Hawes scrunched his forehead.
They shouldn't, though. They don't have any reason to.
Falcone gave Kira a look from under his brows.
That's the idea, at least. We wait for the jellies and the nightmares to go by, and then we blast off in a different direction.
She frowned, mirroring Hawes' expression.
But won't they pick us up on their instruments as soon as we leave the jamming?
Shouldn't, said Falcone. I'm guessing the jellies don't want the rest of the nightmares to know about you, the Staff of Blue, or anything else at Bug Hunt. If I'm right, the jellies following us are going to keep up their jamming, which means they'll be limited to short-range observations in FTL.
Kira was doubtful. That's an awfully big guess. He nodded.
Sure is. But even if the jellies drop their jamming, you know anything about FTL sensors?
Not really, she admitted.
They're pretty crap. Passive ones have to be big, real big, to be effective. Not something most ships can haul around. Active or even worse. And it's active we have to worry about. Range is only a few light days at best, which isn't much at the speeds we're traveling, and they aren't particularly sensitive. Which is a problem if you're trying to detect Markov bubbles, since the bubbles have such a low energy state. Plus, Hawes, why don't you tell her?
The lieutenant never took his eyes off the display as he spoke, his words slow and deliberate.
The UMC found that the jelly sensors are about 20% less effective directly behind their ships, probably because their shadow shield and fusion drive get in the way.
Falcone nodded again.
Odds are the nightmares have the same issue, even if they don't use a shield.
He brought up an image in the hollow of the three ships chasing them.
Once they're past us, they're going to have trouble detecting us, assuming no jamming. And every minute is going to make it that much harder.
How long till they realize the wallfish isn't in front of them? Kira asked. He shrugged.
No idea. Best case scenario, a couple of hours. Worst case, sometime in the next 30 minutes. Either way, it should still be enough time to get out of their FTL sensor range.
And then what? A flicker of sly cunning crossed Falcone's face.
We take a random walk, that's what.
He jerked his thumb toward the aft of the ship.
The UMC gave us more than enough antimatter to fly to Bug Hunt and back. We're using the spare to make a few extra hops, changing course each time, to throw off anyone trying to follow us.
But, said Kira, trying to visualize the whole arrangement in her head, they can still flash trace us, right? Grigorovich cackled and said,
they can, oh my inquisitive mammal, but 'twill take time, time that will allow us to make our most hasty retreat.
Falcone tipped a finger toward the speakers in the ceiling.
With each jump, it'll be harder and harder for the jellies and the nightmares to track us. This isn't like the trip out here. We're not going to be dropping out of FTL at regular intervals in what was pretty much a straight-shot flight.
We took precautions, said Hawes, but nothing as extreme as this.
Nielsen said,
once we're out of sensor range, the jellies won't be able to predict when we go sublight. And if they miscalculate even one trajectory or miss even one jump,
they'll end up way off,
said Falcone with a satisfied grin.
The wallfish can cover almost 3/4 of a light year in a day. Think how long you'd have to wait on a flash trace if you were off by even a few hours on one of our jumps. It could take days, weeks, or even months for the light to reach you.
So we're actually going to make it, said Kira. A grim smile appeared on Falcone's face.
Seems like it. Once we're out far enough, the chances of any of them finding the wallfish, even by accident, are going to be pretty much nil. Hell, unless they track us to our last jump, they won't even know which system in the league we're aiming for.
The pressure pushing Kira against the wall ceased, and she had to hook the stump of her arm through a handhold to keep from drifting across the room. Then the jump alert echoed forth again, and again she felt the strange tingle pass across her skin.
And which system would that be? She asked.
Sol,
said Nielsen. 2. The second jump was longer than the first, 43 minutes to be precise. While they waited, Kira went with Hawes to talk with Atari. You okay? She asked as they left control. He didn't meet her gaze.
Fine, thanks.
Akawe seemed like a good captain.
Yeah, he was. And he was crazy sharp. Him and Koich. There were a lot of good people on the Darmstadt.
I know. I'm sorry about what happened. He nodded, accepting the condolences. Is there anything you don't want me to say? Kira asked as they neared the airlock with the jelly. The lieutenant considered.
It probably doesn't matter at this point, but whatever you know about Sol, the League, or the UMC, keep it to yourself.
She nodded, lightly pushing against the wall to keep herself centered in the corridor.
I'll try. If I'm not sure about something, I'll check with you first.
Hawes nodded.
That should work. We're mostly interested in the jelly's military, placement of troops, tactics, future plans, etc., as well as their technology. Also details on why exactly this group of jellies wants to join forces with us. So, politics, I guess. Anything else you can dig up would be a bonus.
Got it. At the airlock, Kira saw Itari floating near the back wall, its tentacles wrapped around itself in a protective embrace. The alien stirred and looked out with a single glossy eye from between a pair of tentacles. Curiosity. To be expected in any sentient organism, but Kira still found it intimidating. The intelligence lurking within the jelly's eye was a constant reminder that they were dealing with a creature just as capable as any human. Probably more so given its armored carapace and many limbs. Hawes spoke with the Marine stationed on either side of the airlock, Sanchez, and another man Kira didn't recognize, and they opened the door, allowed Kira and the lieutenant inside. Kira moved to the front. Hawes stayed behind her and to the right.
Kira here. We would like to ask you questions. Will you answer them?
The jelly rearranged its tentacles as it settled on the deck in front of them, holding itself in place with its suckers.
Atari here. Speak, Two-Form, and I will answer as best I can.
First things first, definitions of terms.
Kira here, why do you call us Two-Forms? Do you mean—
And she stalled out, unable to think of the jelly word for male or female, or even for sex.
Do you mean like us?
She motioned from herself to Hawes, near scent of respectful disagreement.
Atari here, no. I mean the form you have and the form that lives in your spaceships.
Of course.
Kira here. Our ship minds? Atari here. If that is what you call them, then yes. They give us much difficulty when we board your shells. Our first goal is always to disconnect or destroy them.
When Kira translated for Hawes, he snorted, darkly amused.
Good. At least they've learned to be scared of the mines.
As they should be.
Grigorovich whispered from the ceiling. Hawes gave the speakers an annoyed glance.
This is classified, Grigorovich. Butt out.
And this is my ship,
Grigorovich answered, deadly quiet. Hawes grunted and didn't argue the point. The jelly shifted, a wash of reddish pink moving across its tentacles.
Atari here. We wonder, what relation do your ship minds have to your current forms, the one you call?
And it produced a jumble of scents that, with some difficulty, Kira realized was the jelly's attempt to reproduce Cheddar's name.
Cheddar, refuse to discuss the subject. Are the minds subordinate to your form, or are they senior?
Kira checked with Hawes, and he gave her the go-ahead.
Might as well tell it a bit, said the lieutenant. Reciprocity has to be worth something, right? Their civilization wouldn't work otherwise.
Maybe, Kira said. She didn't feel confident of anything when it came to an alien society.
Kira here. Ship minds begin as one of us. We have to decide to become a ship mind. It does not happen on its own. A ship mind often knows and understands more than we do, but we do not always take orders from them. That depends on what position or authority the ship mind has. And not all ship minds are in ships. Many exist elsewhere.
The jelly seemed to chew on that for a while.
Atari here. I do not understand. Why would a form that is larger and more intelligent not be your shoal leader?
Why indeed?
Asked Grigorovich when Kira repeated the jelly's words, and he chuckled. She struggled to answer.
Kira here. Because every one of us is different. Among our kind, you have to earn your position. It is not given to you just because you were born or built with certain traits.
More definitions of terms, then.
By forms, you mean bodies, yes? Atari here, yes.
For once, the jelly had said something expected. Kira wanted to continue that line of questioning, but Hawes had other ideas.
Ask it about the soft blade, he said. Where does it come from?
The near scent of the jelly thickened, grew sharper, and conflicted colors rolled across its skin.
Atari here. You ask for secrets we do not share.
Kira here. I am a secret.
She gestured at herself, at the soft blade.
And the corrupted are chasing us. Tell me.
The jelly rolled and twisted its tentacles, one around another.
Atari here. Many cycles ago, we discovered the works of the vanished. It was their makings that allowed us to swim through space, both slower and faster than light. Their makings that gave us weapons to fight.
Kira here. You found these makings on your homeworld?
Near scent of confirmation.
Atari here, deep on the abyssal plain. Later, we found more remnants of the vanished floating around a star counterspin to our homeworld. Among those findings were the Idealis, including the one you are now bonded with.
It was that which began the war that led to the sundering.
How much of their technology did the jellies actually invent? She wondered.
Kira here. Who are the vanished? Are they Renawi?
Itari here. No, they swam long before us, and we do not know where they went or what happened to them. If not for them, we would not be what we are, so we give praise to the vanished and their makings.
Kira here, but their makings led to war.
Itari here. We cannot blame the vanished for our own failings.
Hawes made notes while Kira translated. He said,
So it's confirmed. There were or are at least two other advanced civilizations in this area of the galaxy.
Great. Sentient life isn't as rare as we thought, said Kira.
That's not exactly a good thing if we're at the bottom of the pecking order. Ask if any of the vanished are still around.
The response was quick and definitive.
Itari here. None that we know of. But always we hope. Tell me, Idealis, how many makings of the vanished have you found?
The bite of avid desire flavored the alien's words.
There must have been a great number in your system for you to spread so quickly.
Kira frowned and again checked with Hawes. They seem to think...
Yeah.
Should I mention the Great Beacon? The lieutenant thought for a second.
Okay. But don't give away its location.
With some trepidation, she said,
Kira here. We have found one of the vanished's makings, I think. We found a large hole that emits low sound far scent at regular intervals.
A burst of reddish satisfaction spread across the jelly's skin.
Itari here. You speak of a whirlpool, one as yet unknown to us, for we keep close watch on all makings of the vanished.
Kira here. Are there more whirlpools?
Itari here. Six that we know of.
Kira here. What purpose do they serve?
Itari here. Only the vanished could say. But I do not understand. Our scouts have not scented a whirlpool in any of your systems.
She cocked her head.
Kira here. That is because it is not in one of our main systems, and because we only found it a few cycles ago. The vanished makings have not helped us learn how to fight or swim through space.
Itari went a dull gray, and its tentacles knotted in on themselves, as if it were rubbing its hands together, hands with fingers that were far too long and flexible. The alien seemed unreasonably perturbed. Even its scent changed, growing bitter and almondy. Was that arsenic she was smelling?
Navarez, said Hawes, what's going on? Talk to me.
As Kira opened her mouth, the jelly said,
Itari here. You lie, Idealis.
Kira here. I do not.
And she impressed the near scent of sincerity upon her words. The jelly's agitation increased.
Itari here. The vanished are the source of all wisdom, Idealis.
Kira here. Wisdom can come from within as well as without. Everything my kind has done, we have done on our own, without help from banished Renawi, Idealis, or any other form or kind.
With a wet, sticky sound, Itari let go of the deck with its suckers and started to push itself around the airlock, as if it were swimming in circles. It was, Kira thought, the jelly's version of pacing. Out of the corner of her mouth, she said,
The idea that we invented all our technology ourselves seems to be a bit disturbing to our friend here.
Hawes smirked.
Score one for humanity, eh?
The jelly stopped and turned its tentacles toward Kira, pointing them at her as if they had eyes on the tips.
Itari here. Now I understand.
Kira here. Understand what?
Itari here. Why it has been the plan, since first we scented your kind after the end of the sundering, to destroy your conclaves once we reached a ripple of appropriate strength.
A splinter of unease burrowed into Kira. She resisted the urge to fidget in response.
Kira here, have you changed your mind? Do you agree with that plan?
The scent equivalent of a shrug.
Itari here. Were it not for the corrupted, yes. But circumstances are not what they were or will be.
Did it really say that? Asked Hawes. Really?
Bemused, but not in a pleasant way, Kira said. It doesn't seem worried about how we might react. The lieutenant scrubbed his fingers through his short cropped hair.
So, what? The jellies think xenocide is normal? Is that it?
He was very young, Kira suddenly thought. No stem shots for him. He couldn't have been older than his mid-20s. Still just a kid, despite all the responsibility the military had given him.
Could be, she said.
He gave her a worried look.
How's peace ever going to work, then? Long term, that is.
I don't know. Let me ask a few more questions.
He gestured toward Atari. Go for it.
Returning her attention to the jelly, she said,
Kira here. Tell us of the sundering. What was it exactly?
Atari here. The greatest struggle of our kind. Arm fought against arm in an attempt to control the makings of the vanished. In the end, the makings nearly destroyed us. Entire planets were left uninhabitable, and it took us many cycles to rebuild and regain our strength.
Say, Haas remarked, do you think the sundering explains why we haven't seen any signals from the jellies over the past 100 years? If they got knocked back and had to rebuild their tech, the light might not have had time to reach us.
Could be, Kira said. The brass back home are going to love this. Now they were coming to the crux of the matter.
Kira here, much of the destruction during the sundering was caused by corrupted, yes?
Again, near scent of confirmation.
Atari here. It was they that brought about the greatest calamities of the war, they that marked the darkest days of the conflict, and they that woke one of the beings you call the Seeker from its sleep.
Kira here. And how were the corrupted stopped?
Atari here. Few records survived from the sundering, so we do not know exactly how. But we know this much. The colony where the corrupted first emerged was blasted out of existence by an impact from above. The seabed is cracked, and all forms of life on the planet are now gone. Some of the corrupted swam into space, and those spread much as they are now spreading, and it was only with many resources and great effort that we killed them.
Queasiness formed in her stomach, and it wasn't just from the weightlessness.
Kira here. Do you think we can stop the corrupted now?
The jelly's tentacles flushed with a deep purple.
Atari here. You and the rest of your co-forms? No, nor do we believe the Renawi can. Not alone. These corrupted are stronger and more virulent than those of the sundering. We must fight them together if we are to have any hope of success. Know this, Idealis. To stop the corrupted, every cell in their bodies must be obliterated, or else they will grow anew. That is why we sought the Staff of Blue. It had the power to command the Idealis and more besides. With it, we could have broken the corrupted. Without it, we are weak and vulnerable.
What's wrong? Haas murmured. You gone all green about the gills.
The nightmares,
Kira started to say, and then paused, tasting acid. Right then, she didn't want to reveal her part in creating the Maw to the lieutenant or to the UMC at large. It would come out eventually, but she couldn't see how the truth would make any difference to the League's response. They needed to kill the nightmares. What else mattered?
The nightmares come from the vanished, she said,
and translated the rest of Atari's words. The lieutenant scratched at his neck.
Well, that's not good.
Nope.
Don't count out the UMC,
he said with false confidence. We're damn good at killing things, and we've got some real geniuses back home figuring out new ways of dealing out death. We're not out of the fight by a long shot.
I hope you're right, said Kira.
He fiddled with a UMC logo patch on his sleeve.
What I don't understand is, why are we seeing the nightmares now? They've been around for a while, yeah? So what triggered them? You finding the Xeno?
She shrugged, uncomfortable. The jelly didn't say. Technically, it was true.
Has to be, the lieutenant muttered.
Doesn't make sense otherwise. Signal goes out, then... His expression shifted.
Say, how did Shedder's jellies know to show up at Audra when they did? Were they keeping an eye on the system in case anyone found the Xeno?
No,
Atari said in response.
That would have attracted attention we did not want. When the reliquary was breached, low-sound farsent was released, and after it reached us, we sent our ship, the Tesero, to investigate.
Kira said, should I get some details on exactly who this we is? Haas nodded.
Good idea. Let's find out who we might be forming an alliance with.
Kira here, the ones you serve, the ones who want to form a shoal with our leaders,
Do they have a name?
Near scent of confirmation.
Itari here. The Knot of Minds.
From the soft blade came an image of tentacles gripping and intertwining, and with that, a sense of close trust. And Kira understood that a knot was a form of group bonding among the jellies, one that signified a joint and unbreakable cause. Itari was still talking.
The knot was formed to protect the secret of Shoal Leader Nmarl.
A thrill of recognition passed through her at the name. She remembered Nmarl from one of the memories the soft blade had shown her when she was investigating the computer system on the jelly ship back at 61 Cygni. And she again recalled the unusual fondness the Xeno seemed to have for the Shoal Leader.
Kira here. And what was that secret? Itari here. The location of the Idealis which Nmarl hid at the end of the Sundering.
Kira had so many questions she didn't know what to ask first.
Kira here. Why did Nmarl hide the Idealis? Itari here. Because the Shoal Leader failed in its attempt to seize control of the arms, and because hiding the Idealis was the only way to protect it and to protect us from further corruption. If this Idealis had been in use, the Sundering could easily have been the end of the Renaui.
Kira took a moment to process that and to translate for Haas.
You remember this Shoal Leader?
The lieutenant asked. She nodded, keeping her eyes on Itari.
A bit.
It was definitely joined with the soft blade at some point. Haas motioned for her to look at him.
Let me get this straight. The Knot of Minds tried to stage a coup back during the Sundering, whenever that was, and now they're trying to do the same again?
When he put it that way, it didn't sound so good.
That's what it looks like, Kira said. So what was their justification back then, and what's their justification now?
The Jelly's response was swift.
Itari here. Our reason was and is the same. We believe there is a better current to follow. The one we are caught in now can only lead to the death of Renaui everywhere, in this ripple and others.
Kira here. Then if you succeed in replacing your leadership, is there one among the Knot of Minds who will send for the Renaui? The Jelly was slow to answer.
Itari here. That will depend on those whose patterns survive. Medethan may perhaps be fitted to the task. Lafette also. But the other arms would dislike answering to one who followed the heresy of the Tephir. Either way, it would be difficult for any of the Renaui to replace the great and mighty Catane.
At that name, and at that phrase, a line of ice poured down Kira's spine. Flashes of images from her dreams filled her head. A vast bulk rooted amid the abyssal conclave. A huge, scheming presence that saturated the water with its pungency.
Kira here. Is Catane a name or a title? Itari here. I do not understand.
Kira here. Are all your leaders called Catane, or is it the name of just one?
Itari here. There is but one Catane.
It can't be, she murmured, fear prickling the back of her neck.
Kira here. How old is Catane?
She had to stop herself from adding the phrase, the great and mighty.
Itari here, the wise and ancient Catane has guided the arms since the last cycles of the Sundering.
Kira here, how many cycles around your sun has that been?
Itari here, the number would mean nothing to you, but Nmarl placed the Idealis within its keeping place when your kind were first venturing off your homeworld, if that gives you an idea.
She did the math in her head. Over 2.5 centuries.
Kira here. And Catane has ruled the waters for all that time? Itari here. And longer.
Kira here. All in the same form?
Itari here. Yes.
Kira here. How long do Renaui live?
Itari here. That depends on when we are killed.
Kira here. What if you aren't killed? How long would it take you to die from old age? Near scent of understanding.
Itari here. Age does not kill us, two form. Always we can revert to our hatchling form and grow anew.
Kira here. Your hatchling form? Several more questions only left her more confused about the jelly life cycle.
There were eggs, hatchlings, pods, rooted forms, mobile forms, forms that didn't seem to be sentient, and, as Atari seemed to indicate, a host of forms adapted to specific tasks or environments. The unique nature of the jelly's biology sparked Kira's professional curiosity, and she found herself shifting back into her role of xenobiologist. It just didn't make sense. Complex life cycles were nothing new. Plenty of examples existed on Earth and Eidolon. But Kira couldn't figure out how all the parts and pieces Atari was mentioning were supposed to fit together. Every time she thought she had a handle on it, the jelly would mention something new. As a puzzle, it was frustrating and exhilarating.
Hawes had other ideas in mind.
"Enough with all the questions about eggs," he said. "You can figure out the squishy stuff later. Right now we got bigger problems." From then on, the conversation revolved around things Kira considered less interesting, but, as she would acknowledge, were no less important. Things such as fleet placement and numbers, shipyard capabilities, travel distances between the jelly outposts, battle plans, technological capabilities, and so forth. Atari answered most of the questions in a straightforward manner, but some subjects it evaded or outright refused to answer. Mostly questions having to do with the locations of jelly worlds. Understandable, Kira thought, if sometimes frustrating. Yet, no matter what the topic, she couldn't stop thinking about the great and mighty Catane, the formidable Catane. And at last, she interrupted the stream of Haas's questions to ask one of her own.
"Kira here, why does Catane refuse to join with us to fight the corrupted?"
"Atari here, because the cruel and hungry Catane has grown bloated with age, and in its arrogance, it believes the Ranawi can defeat the corrupted without help. The Knot of Minds believes otherwise."
"Kira here, has Catane been a good leader?"
"Atari here, Catane has been a strong leader. Because of Catane, we have rebuilt our shoals and expanded again across the stars. But many of the Ranawi are dissatisfied with the decisions Catane has made these recent cycles, so we fight to have a new leader. It is not a big problem. Next ripple will be better."
Hawes made a noise of impatience, and Kira returned to asking questions for the lieutenant, and no more was said on the subject of Catane. They were still talking with Atari when the jump alert sounded, and the wallfish transitioned back to STL space.
"Two more to go," said Hawes, dragging a sleeve across his forehead.
During their time in the Markov bubble, the air in the ship had grown thick and stifling, and hot enough that even Kira had begun to feel uncomfortable. She could only imagine how bad it was for the others. They gripped the handholds in the walls while Grigorovich reoriented the wallfish, and then off they went again, flying away many times faster than the speed of light. The interrogation of Atari continued. The third jump was shorter than the last, only a quarter of an hour, and the fourth one was shorter still.
"Just to throw them for a real loop-de-loop," Grigorovich said.
Then the wallfish disengaged its Markov drive, and they sat, seemingly motionless, in the dark depths of interstellar space, with radiators spread wide, and the interior of the ship pulsing with heat.
"Grigorovich, any sign of the jellies or the nightmares?" Kira asked.
"Not a whisper, not a whisker,"
said the ship mind. She felt herself relax slightly. Maybe, just maybe, they had really managed to escape.
"Thanks for getting us out of there in one piece," she said.
A soft peal of laughter echoed from the speakers.
"It was my neck on the line as well, oh meatbag. But yes, you are most welcome."
"All right," said Hawes. "We'll call it quits with the jelly for now. We got plenty of material. It's going to take the spooks back home years to parse all this intel. Good job translating."
Kira released the soft blade's grip on the wall.
"Of course. Don't go yet. I'm going to need you to translate for a little longer. Still have to get my men settled."
So she stayed while Hawes summoned the Marines who didn't have cryotubes. And, one by one, Atari cocooned them. The men were not happy with the prospect, but since there was no reasonable alternative, they had no choice but to agree. Once the cocooned Marines were safely placed in the cargo hold, next to where Hawes and the rest of his squad would soon be lying frozen in their tubes, Kira left them and went to help the crew prepare the wallfish for the 3-month-long trip back to the League.
Grigorovich gave me an update, said Falcone as he descended toward her on the central ladder.
Good. That saved her from having to repeat everything Atari had said. I feel like I have more questions than answers, she said.
Falcone made a non-committal noise and stopped in front of her. You didn't tell Hawes, did you?
She knew what he meant.
No.
His blue eyes fixed her in place.
You can't avoid it forever.
I know, but not yet.
When we get back, I'll tell the League then.
It wouldn't do any good now anyway.
She allowed a faint note of pleading into her voice as she spoke. Falcone was slow to answer.
Okay. But don't put it off any longer. One way or another, you're going to have to face this thing.
I know.
He nodded and continued down the ladder, passing so close she could smell the musk of his sweat.
Come on, then. Could use your help.